happened after that? Well, his son, Amo Marduk, who served 2 years, was murdered in a plot orchestrated by his successor and brother-in-law. He served for 4 years, and then his son took over while he was still a boy. He was murdered in a conspiracy only 9 months after his inauguration. Nabonidus was chosen next as the new king, and he ruled for 17 years and left charge of his son Belshazzar. If you read Daniel 5, Belshazzar was the one where the handwriting came on the wall and said, "Your kingdom is done." That night, Cyrus the Great came in and conquered and put Babylon under his kingdom. I only say this to let you know that throughout history, people have not chosen who their leaders are. They have been kings and rulers, and after them, there's a lot of assassinations, and there's a lot of murders, and there's a lot of taking over in power. What makes America unique is we get to choose our leaders by voting, not by assassinating, or not by passing it down through families. That is the freedom you and I have. Their power is limited. The founding fathers did not want a king. They knew that it is in the nature of human beings to want to gain power and rule over people. So they divided our government into three branches so that neither one could have full power. You say, "But boy, they're doing a lot of crazy things today." Yes, they are. But they do not have full power. They cannot rule forever and ever and ever. You know what's interesting, what many people don't realize? Beginning in 1952, for the last 65 years, this country has delegated power from one party to the next. Eisenhower was Republican. He ruled for 2 terms. Kennedy came in, was assassinated, and then the next one, Johnson, came and took the 2nd term. So for 2 terms, the Democrats were in charge. In 1968, a Republican, Richard Nixon, came in, and he ruled for 2 terms between him and Gerald Ford. Then in 1976, a Democrat came in, Jimmy Carter. He's the exception. He only ruled, or only was president, for 4 years. Then Ronald Reagan came into power, and he and Bush ruled, or were president, for 12 years. I think the Republicans thought, "Boy, we got it forever and ever." No, but then in 1992, Bill Clinton, a Democrat, came in, and he was president for 2 terms. Then George Bush came, and he was a Republican, and he was president for 2 terms. Then Obama came in, and he's a Democrat, and he was president for 2 terms. Now, the next election, the Democrats may win and may make up for those 12 years, but I have to tell you that for the last 64 years, this nation has gone back and forth between one party to another, between the Democrats and between the Republicans, because this nation understands they do not want power entrusted in the hands of one person nor one group. That is the genius of America. You're free to choose who you desire to lead this country. Say, "Well, man, some of them been in Congress too long." Don't worry. They don't have everything to power. They got to work with 435 people. Then they got to work with a president. Then they got to deal with the Supreme Court. Say, "Well, the Supreme Court's doing some things." Yeah, but you know, if you study the history of the Supreme Court, it's going back and forth. The power does not reside in one group forever. That's the genius of America. In the New Testament, King Herod was a brutal man who killed his father-in-law, killed many of his 10 wives, and killed 2 of his sons. He ignored the laws of God to suit himself and chose the favor of Rome over his own people. Herod's heavy taxes to pay for his lavish projects forced an unfair burden on the Jewish citizens. His despotic rule has been demonstrated by many of his security measures aimed at suppressing the contempt he had for the people. especially Jews, had. For instance, it has been suggested that Herod used secret police to monitor and report the feelings of the general populace towards him. He sought to prohibit protests and had opponents removed by force. He had a bodyguard of over 2,000 soldiers. Man, it's tough. Yeah, but we're not under King Herod, who was a vicious man. The genius of America is that you are free to choose who will lead you. You say, well, my vote doesn't count. It doesn't count. Well, technically, it doesn't. But if 10 million other people feel the same way, then yes, your vote doesn't count. But you have that great privilege in America. No one will retain power. You say, well, I didn't like Bill Clinton, or I like Bill Clinton. That's okay. He no longer has power. Well, I like George Bush. Oh, I didn't like George Bush. It doesn't matter. He no longer has power. Well, I like Obama or I don't like Obama. It don't matter. In a few months, he'll be gone. He'll have no more power. You see, that's the genius of America. No one and no group is going to control it forever unless we allow them to. We are free to choose. The founding fathers feared a king. They feared that someone would rule, and so they divided it up. You say, man, they're fighting and there's just so much hindrance and Congress stops everything. Well, I say amen to that. That's the way the founders designed it. They wanted it to be as hard as anything for one group to come together and rule a place. They intended that the power would be divided so that no one could have their way forever. That is the genius of America. But you say, Pastor, the political campaigns are so vicious today. They're so terrible. They're so awful. Apparently, you don't know your history. Thomas Jefferson and John Adams' campaign was one of the most vicious in history. George Washington served for 2 terms, and then John Adams came for a 3rd term. And then in the 4th term, it was between John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, the 4th term of becoming a president. They said so many vicious things about one another that I can't even tell you from the pulpit. I can assure you, if you will go and look up, you will find they said things that you would never hear today. But here are some of them. As the slurs piled on, Adam was labeled a fool, a hypocrite, a criminal, and a tyrant, while Jefferson was branded a weakling, an atheist, a libertine, and a coward. Even Martha Washington succumbed to propaganda, telling a clergyman that Jefferson was one of the most detestable men on the earth. Boy, it's bad today. Even Martha Washington said he was one of the most detestable men that ever was. You know what? Federalists attacked Jefferson as an unchristian deist whose sympathy for the French Revolution would bring similar bloodshed and chaos to the United States. You know what we're debating today? It's the same thing they were debating then. Listen to what the debate was. On one side, the Democratic Republicans denounced the strong centralization of federal power under Adams' presidency. Republicans specifically objected to the expansion of the U.S. Army and Navy, the attack on individual rights and the Alien and Sedition Acts, and new taxes and deficit spending used to support broadened federal action. Overall, the Federalists wanted strong federal authority to restrain the excesses of popular majorities, while the Democratic Republicans wanted to reduce national authority so that the people could rule more directly through state governments. Sound familiar? It's the same debate we're having today. You see, you and I think history started when we were born. History didn't start when we were born. We think our experiences are unique. They've always been here. I don't mean that it's not any worse, but it's always been here. There's always been a battle between a more centralized federal authority and those left to the states, and it has always been back and forth, and it will continue even up to today. You know how bad it was? There was one ad taken out in newspapers against Thomas Jefferson that said this: "The grand question stated, shall I continue in allegiance to God and a religious president, or declare for Jefferson and no God? So vote for Jefferson and burn in hell for eternity." Boy, it's a vicious campaign today. I hadn't seen that one yet. If you vote for so-and-so, you're going to burn in eternity. They say, well, there's all sorts of different things going on. John Adams lived long enough to see his son become president in 1825. But he died before John Quincy Adams lost the presidency to Andrew Jackson in 1828. Fortunately, that meant he didn't have to witness what many historians consider the nastiest contest in American history. What got Americans so fired up? For one thing, many voters felt John Quincy Adams should never have been president in the first place. During the election of 1824, Jackson had won the popular vote, but not the electoral vote. Sound familiar? That's what happened. So the election was decided by the House of Representatives, not by a Supreme Court, but by the House of Representatives. Henry Clay, one of the other candidates running for president, threw his support behind Adams. To return the favor, Adams promptly made him Secretary of State. Jackson's supporters labeled it the corrupt bargain and spent the next 4 years calling Adams a usurper. Boy, it's rough. Man, 2000 was tough. They made little deals so that one could become president even way back then. You know what the campaign said, and this was said quite often. Each side believed that victory by the other would ruin the nation. I bet you haven't heard that before, have you? Each side said, if you vote for the other one, you're going to ruin this nation. My point is simply this. At this point in America, we are free to choose who our leaders will be. You may not like them. You may oppose them. You may think they're doing terrible things. But the truth is, you have the freedom to go and vote for them. And if you do not vote, you are giving up one of the most gracious privileges in America, the freedom to vote. You say, but my person didn't win. That's okay. Around that long. Time moves on and power is shifted. You know, I imagine when one president took over from another party, I bet in the inauguration, the one president sat there and couldn't stand what was being said by the other one. It didn't matter, because that's the way it worked. He had to sit there and listen to it. And when it was all said and done, that person walked off the stage and the other assumed the power. You see, in America, folks, you are free to choose. You may not like all that's going on. You may battle and you may stream, you may call the other side everything in the book, but when all the dust is settled, there will be no assassinations, there will be no troops, there will be no things. It will simply be transfer of power legitimately by the people. That's what makes America great. Amen. Second thing is, in America, we have the freedom to worship God as we see fit. If you want to worship Mickey Mouse, I guess you can do that in America. You can start your own Mickey Mouse church. You can pretty well go to any church you want to. Or if you don't want to go to church, you don't have to go to church. You can pretty well go to any church you want to. You can serve the Lord any way you want to. In the summer of 64 AD, Rome suffered a terrible fire that burned for 6 days and seven nights, consuming almost three quarters of the city. The people accused the Emperor Nero for the devastation, claiming he set the fire for his own amusement. In order to deflect these accusations and placate the people, Nero laid blame for the fire on the Christians. The emperor ordered the arrest of a few members of the sect who, under torture, accused others until the entire Christian populace was implicated and became fair game for retribution. As many of the religious found they could not be found were rounded up and put to death in the most horrific manner for the amusement of the citizens of Rome. The ghastly way in which the victims were put to death aroused sympathy among many Romans, although most felt their execution was justified. When you read the New Testament, the Apostle Peter, and Peter says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial that is to come upon you," and he talks about sufferings and trials. He's not talking about the kind of trials we talk about. He's talking about the persecution that came from Nero. He blamed the Christians. Does that sound familiar today? Somebody blaming the Christians for what's going on? Kind of has always been that way. And so he blamed the Christians and he did some terrible things. Let me read for you. He used all kinds of punishments against the Christians. He said some that were sewed up in the skins of wild beasts and then turned savage dogs loose on them until they chewed them to pieces. Other Christians were dressed in shirts dipped in wax, tied to poles, and set on fire in Nero's garden, and when the day waned, burned to serve for the evening lights. Many were shot with arrows, and many others were thrown into the arena where they were killed by savage lions and other wild beasts. As a result, the pagan citizens of Rome hunted out the Christians and killed great numbers of them in a terrible persecution that lasted 4 years for the rest of Nero's reigns. Many Christians, including Peter and Paul, lost their lives during this, the first general persecution of Christianity. Boy, it's rough today. They're calling us names. They're saying, yeah, 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 yeah. Well, so far they hadn't lit me on fire yet. That may come. But we are free to worship God as we see fit. You're free to choose who you want to be your leaders, and you're free to come to this church or go to another church or another church. Or if you want to stay home and badmouth everybody, you can do that, because in America, you are free to choose. I'm free to stand up in this pulpit and preach the word of God and encourage you and strengthen you and challenge you. And in America, I'm free to do that. You're not free to do that in many countries over in the Middle East. They're being put to death by the hundreds. Christians are being killed all around the world. But you are free to worship God as you see fit. We're also free to be whoever we want to be, or not do anything at all. You're free to be and do whatever your heart's desire is. No one is telling you what you must do and can't do, what profession you must go in and what profession you must not. If you want to rise to the top and one day become president of the United States, you have that opportunity in America. Or if you don't want to do anything and sit around, you have that freedom in America. America gives you the freedom to be and do whatever you desire to do. You want to go to the beach? You're free to go to the beach. You want to go to the mountains? You're free to go to the mountains. You want to spend your money? You're free to spend your money. You want to save your money? You're free to save your money. You're free in America to do and be whatever you want to be. When you leave today, you choose where you will eat. You'll either go home or you'll go to a restaurant. Nobody's going to tell you where to eat. When you go this week, you're free to drive whatever car you want to drive. You're free to go any place you want to go. In America, there's no Gestapo. There's no policeman looking around the corner making sure that you follow the thing, at least so far. You're free in America to be what you want to be. I'm free to be a pastor. That's my life's calling, and I'm free to do that in America. I'm free to do it with freedom. I'm free to do it with service. The only people that would be against me are the ones that don't like me. But other than that, we're free in America. You say, well, Pastor, it's getting bad. It's getting tough. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But I leave you with the verse that is probably my kind of theme verse in these coming days, and that is this in 2 Timothy. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Does that sound like what's going on today? And so what did Paul tell Timothy to do? But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You know what he told Timothy? He basically said, you just continue in what you've been taught, and you live the way that you know is right. Oh, I can say, oh, man, I don't like that. I don't like that. I'm free to say all kinds of things. I can say anything I want to within limit. I can tell I don't like this person. I don't like that person. I don't like this politician. I don't like that politician. And no one's going to arrest me. But when it's all said and done, when Monday morning comes, I'm free to read my Bible. I'm free to pray. I'm free to enjoy my life. I'm free to do my job. I'm free. And you're free. Before you let America take over and make America seem like it's over with, you must remember, as of in 2016, you are living what America is all about. You are free. You are free to choose who will be your leaders. You are free to worship God, and you are free to be whoever you want to be, and you are free to live any way you want to live. You are free. You know what I choose, and many of you choose? Choose to live God's way and God's purpose. We are free. No one persecutes me when I go into the hospital and say, hey, preacher. No one throws eggs in my face. No one yells at me. They say, hey, preacher, how you doing? Good to see you today. I'm free in this nation to serve him to the best of my ability. So I encourage you today, if you take America for granted and you don't enjoy the privilege that you have, then I say to you, let's drive over to Russia. Let's spend a few hours there and see how much we like it. I've heard anyone who ever went overseas said when they came back, they kissed the ground when they got back. They were so glad to be in America. We are not perfect. We're not the best. We're not doing everything we do, but we are doing a lot of wonderful things. America is still the greatest country on this earth because we have freedom. It's not found in rulers. It's not found in people who have power. It's found in the freedom of the individual to be and live as they wish to live. I want to encourage you today. Be proud to be an American and enjoy your freedom. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for this nation and for this wonderful land we live in. We realize there are many who are turning their back on you, many who are rejecting you. But Lord, the truth is there are many who are not. There are many people in our nation. There are many churches in our nation. There are many places where people love you and follow you and serve you with great freedom. There's a few things that may happen to them, but not quite as bad as it's been in the past. Lord, thank you.